Good morning, Harbor of Joy. On this beautiful fall morning, the Lord has blessed us so with what wonderful, wonderful weather. We're going to start with a song. We're asking the Lord to have his presence in our service. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And I want you to invite him here, invite his Holy Spirit with us, and sing it very reverently. So we'll start out with, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 104, 31 through 34. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Our next song that we're going to sing is It Is Well With My Soul. And I know some of you know this because Bob has told you this before, but I just want to remind you how this song was written. It was written by a successful Christian lawyer, Horatio Spafford. His only son died at the age of 4 in 1871. In 1872, the Great Chicago Fire wiped out his vast estate. In 1873, he sent his wife and 4 daughters to Europe on a summer trip on an ill-fated ship. Since he had a lot of work to do, he planned to follow them later. The ship sank, and he lost his 4 daughters, with his wife being his only survivor. She sent him a famous telegram, which simply read, "Saved alone." On his return home, his law firm burned down, and the insurance company refused to pay him, saying it was an act of God. He had no money to pay for his house, and no work. Then, while thinking about what was happening to him, he wrote a song, "Whatever, my Lord, you have taught me to say, it is well it is well with my soul. If God is for us, who can be against us? And we think we got problems. Why don't you stand while we sing this?
Welcome to Harbor of Joy this morning. There is nothing like being greeted by young people. And guess who I got to meet? I mean, actually, they came over to me. I didn't have to go to them. Jacek, Dalia, and Jerry. Just want them to know that it was so nice of them to come and to be able to say, hello, Pastor Tim, or who is this? And I remembered their name, so it's good to have you here this morning, as well as the rest of you, too. And I'm glad that afterwards you're not going to Bob Jensen's Pizzeria. Make sure that that doesn't get mixed up again. Sorry about that, and I apologize to Bob for doing that as well. There are six people from Harbor of Joy going down to the LCMC gathering or the convention today, so following church today, we're going to be heading out to Marion, Iowa, which is down by Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And I'm scared. There's a lot of people down there. So we'll be heading that direction. So there's six of us that will be there. Lynn Ann Burns will be one of the delegates, as well as myself, and the rest are going to be kind of guests, but we get to be a part of what's taking place down there. And we'll report to you next Sunday. Kind of what we heard and how we see what's taking place down there in the LCMC as well. So I just want you to know that next Sunday we'll give you a report in that whole thing. And then also, I just want to remind you that a week from today we go on a hayride. Do you know where? A hayride out at Jack and Lynn Johnson's. What time do you come out there? Because a hayride takes a while. And he's got a great way of doing a hayride. So, I mean, you can sit on something. It's not bales. It's not a hay wagon. You get a luxury liner for us older people here. So, any rate, that's 2 o'clock out there, and you're welcome to be a part of that. Come out when you can. If you can't be there too, that's fine. Come whenever you can. And there'll be some games out there. There'll be some music out there as well. So hope to see you there. And that's next Sunday as well. This coming Tuesday, we have the ladies, shouldn't be the ladies, it's a prayer partners for anyone who wants to pray, come together, and they meet in the library. And anyone can come and be a part of that. But also remind you that 2:30 on Tuesday afternoon, 2:30 to 4, we don't always get to 4 o'clock, we just put in at least 90 minutes. There's what's called grief and share. And so we just have like a trial group that is meeting and going through it. And Richard Mitsky is the one that is really a good guy to have in charge of this. And so if you got questions, I just want you, Richard, raise your hand. There he is, Richard. And he will, if you got questions about that, just talk to him, because I might not be around for you to catch me after church today. So just, I got in the bulletin, I think I put into the names of people who are in that trial run. So, I mean, you can even talk to them if you don't want to talk to me or talk to Richard, or if you sit by some of these people, you can ask them what's it all about. But that's this coming Tuesday. We meet for the third time. And I just say it's going really, really well. Better than I thought it was going to go, but there's a lot of moving parts in this thing to do, and it's more than what I can do. So I'm glad that Richard has been a phenomenal guy to be able to have, and he's only going to be here till the end of October, and then he goes to Arizona. But the good news is Becky Rowe and Suzanne Kern are going to take over when Richard leaves. So we got that all in place. So we only wanted to go for about 3 or 4 times. Well, it is so beneficial that the group says, I'm going to go through all of this, not just the beginning of it. So there's 13 weeks to do this. I'm not sure how we're going to do that, but that's the plan. We'll open it up in January for anyone else that wants to be a part of it. And it's just going to start with the people in Harbor of Joy first, because we know that there's probably over 20 widowers and widows that are here in the church. You don't have to be a widow or widower, but just going through a loss of some sort. If that's something you need help with, you're grieving over something, this is very, very helpful. And so I'll keep you posted on that as time goes on with that. Also, this Thursday, what's happening this Thursday? It's a big event. How many missionaries do we have in this church? 3. See, Richard Hildebrand is here. Jeff Kyle goes to Mexico. And Patty. Oh, Patty's here even. I didn't know she's going to be here. Hey, Patty. She's got knee surgery, so she's sitting down. And so we're just glad to have you here. But this Thursday at the Macer Monarch Village, you know where that's at? It's in Okoboji. It's we meet there from 6 o'clock until we ever get over with. But it's always a great banquet that New Life, Next Life Foundation is the name of where she goes in Tanzania, Africa. And it's always a great, great blessing. So, I mean, come and get something to eat. Come and hear what's happening with Next Life Foundation. And you will not be disappointed by that at all. So that's this Thursday. And then I have to mention, I was not there last Saturday, back in September, the first Saturday in September. But next Saturday is the first Saturday in October. Men's breakfast at Perkins here in Milford. Just want you to know that. Open to any guy that wants to come and be a part of that. It's always a good time where you don't have to make your own breakfast. You just order it. And Ron Knutson will pay for it. Aha! That got his attention. I've never seen you get so excited so quickly there, Ron. I'm only kidding. He doesn't have to pay for it, but maybe somebody might. I don't know. That's this Saturday, 7:30 in the morning, men's breakfast. So keep that in mind. There's a lot of different announcements in the bulletin. A thank you from Patty Griffiths is in there, as well as thank you to those of you that have been doing Meals on Wheels. We do it 4 times a year. I'm just glad it's just only 2 days. It's Tuesdays and Thursdays. And October has already been filled. And we thank those of you that have volunteered to fill this need as well. So read the other announcements that you find in your bulletin, and that would be great. Good to have everybody here. Let's just have a word of prayer as we continue to worship the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Thankful for those that are here today because, Lord, we just need you. It's just like the songs that the praise team has sung this morning, you know, just to hear that Jesus saves, and people who go through heartache and yet remain faithful to you in light of all the ups and downs that go on in their lives. It can be like a number of us here as well. But can we say today honestly before you, it is well with my soul. It doesn't matter what happens, but is it well with my soul here today? There's no reason why anyone should leave today from church not knowing how they can have their soul be at rest with God and with Jesus Christ as their Savior. So Lord, help us during our time together this morning that we, in turn, can say those same words that the hymn writer wrote, Horatio Stafford. I think it's Stafford or is it Spafford? But it is well with my soul after all that he had gone through. It's tremendous, tremendous heartache. And yet he can say that honestly. It is well with my soul. That is what we desire here at Harbor of Joy, is that anyone and everyone who comes can say it is well with my soul. We pray your blessing, Lord, on the rest of our service today. We put it in your hands to guide and to lead. In your name we pray. Amen. The responsive reading today is by John Bunyan, entitled The Love of Christ. And here is love, that God sent his Son. Herein is love, that he sent Jesus to save sinners.
To save
them by bearing our sins, by our curse, by dying our death, by bearing our sorrows. Here is love, in that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us.
Yes, here is love, in that while we were yet without strength.
Christ died for us, the ungodly. Oh, we have a special number this morning, a quartet that has come out of hiding.
I don't think there's another church that has a men's quartet whose average age is 84 and a half.
Alan Holman, Ron Knutson, Denny Struck, and Curtis Jazz. Finish. And Karen Dockin is playing the piano. Yeah. And she's not 84. Yet.
Built on nothing less than Jesus.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Thank you so much. Thanks, Alan. I hope Sharon Holman was able to listen and to see this on Zoom here today. And so, Sharon, if you get this, might not be today, might be during the week, but that was your hubby up there singing. Great sounds, thank you. A song that is very familiar with us is too, as well. Amy, I didn't know you were here. It was Amy's birthday yesterday. I just want to wish her a happy birthday. Absolutely. Invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. Comes to us in the book of Mark. We're going through the book of Mark during this season, chapter 9. And its verse is 38 through 42 and verse 50. 38 to 42 and verse 50. It says this, "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can, in the next moment, say anything bad about me. For whatever is not against us, for whoever is not against us, is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be drowned into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck." Verse 50. "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to your word here today, we pray that it will be revealed by you in its power and in a way that it just speaks to all of our hearts here today. Thank you that we can come like this and hear songs and to hear music and to hear your word in a way that we do not have to be crouching or not talking so loud or making sure that no one else hears what's happening here today because we could be arrested or even thrown in jail or even shot and killed or hung. Who knows? Lord, we count our blessings. I pray and I hope that we'll always be like this. But the days in which we live in, we know that it seems like things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And sometimes it surprises us how bad it can get. It's nothing new to you. You've seen this all before. But today, Lord, we have a chance to hear your word and to bring peace to our souls through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you caught it in what we read here this morning, but there's a well-meaning disciple by the name of John. Well-meaning. And he does something that he thinks is good, as he tells Jesus. He's the only one that we know of that goes and tells Jesus what has taken place. And he says to Jesus, "I saw a man driving out demons in your name, and I told him to stop, knock it off, cut it out, because He wasn't one of us. One of the 12 disciples. What do you think John and the other disciples who were with him were expecting Jesus to say or to do to them? High five? Oh, great. Way to go, guys. You know, or saying like, oh, that's great, you know. Yeah, he shouldn't be doing that at all. What's gotten into this guy that thinks he can go around and even use my name and to cast out demons? Prior to this text, prior to this text, you get into chapter 8, maybe it's chapter 9. But prior to this taking place, the disciples struck out when there was a man who had a son who was demon-possessed. And he asked, this guy of the son who was demon-possessed, he went to the disciples and said and asked them, can you help me? This has been going on for years with my son, and it's been very, very terrible. Can you heal him? Can you drive out this demon that is controlling him at different times and is going to, eventually, if it continues on like it is, he's going to die because he's under control of this demon. And his disciples failed. They couldn't do it. And then they went and they asked Jesus after this incident, they said, why, Lord? You know, why couldn't we help this guy out? Why couldn't we cast out this demon? And Jesus replied back to them. He goes, this kind of demon, referring to this demon that overtook his son, this kind can come out only by prayer. All they needed to do was to pray, asking God to help them to deliver this boy from what was ailing him, an unclean spirit. The power in his name. Because every time we see where the disciples failed, it goes back to the name of Jesus. In his name is the only way that they can bring healing, the only way that there can be any change that takes place in anyone's heart and life, it is through the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot have peace in your soul if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's just kind of that simple. So when the disciples failed, using a baseball terminology, we call that strike one against them. Last week, remember? Were you here last week? If you weren't here last week, then you're free. You're off the hook here. But last week, we looked at well-meaning disciples of Jesus who were on their way to Capernaum. And what were the disciples arguing about on the way back to Capernaum? Who was the greatest of them? Now, Jesus was walking with them. Jesus never stopped them. Probably was leading them. But he knew what they were talking about, what the argument was going on between his own disciples. And who picked his disciples? Jesus did. He knew this would happen. And so Jesus asked them, what were you guys talking about on the way back? And the response was what? Mum's the word. They didn't say anything. They didn't want to admit what they were arguing about. And then Jesus tells them, if any one of you wants to be first, you must be the very last. You must be a servant of all. And then he picked up a little child that was there. And he said, whoever becomes a child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, when he's talking about his Father, of really who he is. God is in their midst. And so again, the disciples showed how frail and weak they are. Strike two. Today, we see again some well-meaning disciples telling a man to drive this demon in the name of Jesus out of him and to stop doing this because he isn't one of the 12. He's not one of them. And Jesus replies to John and the other disciples who are there, and he just said, knock it off. You shouldn't have done that. Stop. Stop. In the Greek, the word used for stop means it's an action in progress. It is a continual thing that's taking place to stop what's been going on. And Jesus says to his disciples, no one who does a miracle in my name cannot say anything bad about me. The principle of Jesus here is, anyone who is not against us is for us. And here again, his disciples have strike three, you're out, in baseball terminology, as they failed three times in a short amount of time, doing what they thought they should do was right. And Jesus had to give them some words of teaching, words to help them to see things from a different perspective than the way that they were looking. So to be great in God's kingdom, or really it comes down to this. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Listen to this. Be patient with people and pray. That's the first thing. Be patient and pray. The second thing is, be like a small child. You don't know everything. You don't find a greater faith than in a child versus an adult. A child is very trusting. A child is very forgiving. Some of you that are parents, how many times have your kids messed up in their lives? Have you ever told them, that's the last time you're going to do this or else? And the answer to that is no. There's a lot of times, even as a mom or as a parent, you forgive and you help them because they're, you just say, well, they're just a kid. They don't know. And sometimes adults need to do that with adults. Some people just don't know anything about Jesus. Some people don't know anything about how to live for the Lord. The third one, from a small child, Jesus then said, you must be a what? Of all. Servant. How do you like that word? Now you can be good at serving in a lot of different ways, but can it be self-centered? Can it be self-seeking versus I'm doing it for the Lord, I'm doing it for Jesus? It's a big difference from being self-centered to being others, thinking about others through the eyes of Jesus Christ, of how he sees them. Jesus gives his disciples a couple of examples. He says, even giving a cup of water in Jesus' name, and the reason you do that is because you belong to Jesus, that's why you give the cup of water. It's a giving. It's a giving heart. It's not trying to control people. It's giving to empower people to see Jesus Christ if they don't know him. It's applying the golden rule in your life. Do you know what the golden rule is? We hear it on Wednesdays so often. The golden rule, sometimes it's printed. Do unto others as you'd want others to do unto you. That's all it is, the golden rule. And there's a lot of truth with that golden rule. Jesus said it. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. It's pretty simple. So why can't you do it? Jesus then used salt. Remember, he said that you are the salt and the light of the world. He uses salt in a way here. Can't get into that today because that takes us in another direction. But you'll find that he's talking about hell. And how everyone will have the fire of salt or whatever to be cleansed in the end. But it says here in verse 50, which I think is very significant, it says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? And the answer to that is, obviously, you can't. You can't make it saltiness. You can't make it salty again. If it loses its saltiness, it's done. It's just like dirt, which we don't eat, but sometimes we find it in our mouth and we spit it out. But he goes on and says this, have salt in yourselves. Jesus is speaking, have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. That's what salt does. It brings things into our lives that we would not have otherwise. And the salt is given to us through Jesus. For us as well as for other people. So we find here the man who has the son with a demon. We do not know his name. He's anonymous. In our text, we don't know what his name is. We don't know the name of his son either. But as long as John is casting out demons, not John, but this guy, even though we don't know who he is, as long as he's casting out demons in whose name? In Jesus. Jesus says, let him. Let him do it if he's using my name. So he's doing a good thing in Jesus Christ's name by getting rid of this demon that has come into his son. He's done a good thing. It's a miracle. And the principle that Jesus always uses is this. Got a frog in my throat here. Is if someone is not against you, then he's for you. You're on the same page. And in this case, it's because of the name of Jesus Christ, he's able to do what he's doing. So let me ask you this question. Would you be any different than John the disciple of wanting to tell Jesus, I did this, and you're thinking it's a good thing? Would you do the same thing as John and the disciples did here? And the answer to that is, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sounds like something I would do. Think you're doing something really good, well-meaning, but here you had Jesus saying, stop. Let him do what he's doing. Have patience. Pray. Be like a child. Be a servant. Show that salt and that light that Jesus says that you have. Be that kind of person. We do not find anything where Jesus would put restrictions on what has taken place here. But remember, it's all because he goes back, the guy is using the name of Jesus when he casts out demons. Now, if he used any other name, it wouldn't work. If he used his own name, if he thought he had the power of doing this, it would not be the same. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All the time. Sometimes we think that we are serving God. And to be honest, we're not. We think we are, but we're not. Because we got ourselves wrapped up in it somewhere, too, of thinking I'm doing a good thing when it's all that God is doing is what's important. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get in God's way and we stop him from answering our prayers. We stop him from showing us what he can do. And then we prevent him from giving us the blessing that only Jesus can give to us, whatever that may be. But he'll give it. But he does it. So whose side are you on? Are you on the side of John, what he did? Or are you on the side of Jesus, who's much more humble and truthful? Whose side are you on today? Because Jesus saw an opportunity here in what John has just told him about this guy to make him quit casting out demons in his name. And so Jesus takes the opportunity and tells him that you're not being too welcoming and you're really not serving like I've been telling you how to serve. Servants think of others better than themselves, and you find that in Philippians. The teaching in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. That is what you see as a servant, is to have the same attitude as Jesus Christ. It's a lifelong process, my friends. Sometimes we do it right, and sometimes we fall on our face. Sometimes we take credit for something we have no business taking credit for. Jesus has done it. Or has given us the power to do what we're doing. When I think of a servant leader in a church, there needs to be servant leaders. If you did not have leaders, only servants, the servants will not know what to do. But to be a leader, you serve. You teach. You help. That's why it's important when you pick the church council people of this church. So one of the first things you look for, who's a servant leader? Who is leading by example? It's not what their hair looks like, or if they're good looking, or what they have. Are they a servant leader of Jesus Christ? The opposite is to be a servant controller. And you don't find that in the Bible. A servant controller. I'm going to do this and I expect you to do the same thing. No. It's not about controlling people. It's being a servant. If you ask a veteran, any veteran, how many veterans we got here today? Just want to see if you're awake. Okay? In the service, in whatever branch you're in, there's what's called, what's it called? I got it here somewhere. Oh, there's a chain of command. You know what that is? If you're a veteran, you know what that is. A chain of command is that you go to the next person higher than you and tell them whatever is concerning you or the problem you're having. And if that person can't help you, then you go to the next person higher, or that person will go to the next person higher for you until you get all the way up to the top. If you're in a company, who's the top dog? It's kind of the captain. There's a first sergeant underneath the captain. You got staff sergeants, you got first sergeant. I mean, it's just there's a chain of command that you follow. You do not go straight to the captain. You don't go straight to the top, they call them top, the first sergeant. You don't go there unless you've gone through the chain of command. It's the same way in a church. There's a chain of command. I say that to help you. You don't go talk to somebody else about things in the church until you go through who's in that committee. Who's the chairman of that committee? Then you go and talk to that person on that committee. And you don't talk to anybody else about what you don't like or what is the problem. You go find out who's on that committee and talk to that person. If that committee chairman cannot help you, well, then that committee chairman will go talk to somebody on the church council. And if that person can't help, you'll say, we'll talk about it at the church council meeting, trying to resolve, answer the issue that's at hand. That's called a chain of command. Sometimes there's too much talking with other people and not going to the people that you need to be talking to. I, as your pastor, I know who's above me. In my book, anyway, it's you. It's the congregation. I don't order you around. But you're above me. The council is who I answer to. It's the council I bring things up to. At least that's where I'm coming from. I just want you to understand that. I go by a chain of command. That's just who I am. And it's always to bring peace to bring something that's going to help the church as a whole. So if there's something you don't like about me, I'm just letting you know that's the way I operate. I don't mind talking to you. I don't mind a phone call. I don't mind however else you call or communicate. But I'm here to help. I really am. I have one big flaw. I don't know how to use email. Therefore, I don't know how to even read email. I'm not a high-tech guy. You know? So I go like, I'm at loss when it comes to anything high-tech. So don't expect me to know something that I have nothing. I don't know how to use it, how to find it, whatever. So anyway, well, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ always knew what was going on and what was happening. Oh, how we wish we could be more like him in so many ways. But a lot of times we just say, Lord, I failed. But I know who I need to go to, and that's Jesus. To be forgiven and to lean on him, and sometimes just waiting as I pray. Need lots of patience. But I'm thankful, Lord, that you've called me here to Harbor of Joy. And I just hope that people would just see that I'm the shepherd that takes care of the flock. So this is kind of the way I find your teaching in the scriptures, and it's something I don't even want to do in my own life, but I know it's something that you've called me to do. And I don't even understand that. But I thank you for it. Thank you for the things that you have done in my life over the years that have been really full of junk, but that you have shown me there's a right way and a wrong way in how to do things. And when I do them your way, things go much better than when I go a different direction. So Lord, come and reveal to us and to show us what's really important. It's serving you. It's reaching out to others who need you. It's helping people grow in their faith because of who you are. Lord, we want to be more than just well-meaning, but sometimes that's part of growing up, a part of understanding people. We can have the best thoughts in process in our minds of doing, and yet we can be so wrong in the way in which we do them. So help us to be loving in a real way, because Jesus said that the way that others love me, you'll see it as they love one another. May we have that kind of a love. And may we ask you for that love if we find we struggle with that. So we just pray these things in your name. Amen. Before we do the Lord's Prayer, I just want you to know on the way here to church today, the thought just had hit me that, you know, so what if you live to be 100? In light of eternity, what is 100 years? It's nothing. It's nothing. I don't know what age you are here, because I'm not that good with ages either. But when you're young, you think it takes forever to do anything because it takes such a long time. We just think of Christmas as a kid. It would never get here. Or it's your birthday. It would never get here. But it comes. And now the older you get, you go like, whoa, time is going way too much faster than ever. But just like the song we sang together in the beginning of the service, "It Is Well With My Soul." What a great song, even though it was written over 140 years ago. And you think of it, I remember the dates that Karen had read. 1871? And then 1872? And then 1873. You know, that's just a year apart when something very tragic happened to this guy, Horatio. I think about our lives. Seems like there's always something that comes up, doesn't there? The older you get. But the day will come when our faith will be seen. Right now we cannot see it. We believe it, but we do not see. That's faith. But eternity lasts forever. There is no end to eternity. We are just pilgrims passing through. We don't know how long we're going to live. Let's just say if we live till we are 70 years old, it's going to come to an end. But then real life will start after that for eternity. I want you to think about that. I think it puts life in a different perspective. But it's always a perspective that Jesus has for us when he came. The best is yet to come if you're in Christ. The best is yet to come. If you think it's bad here and you don't know Jesus, the worst is yet to come. You don't want to even go there. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us where we are here today, and it is your desire to have a relationship with each and every one of us by faith through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him, and that he's here with us even today, right now. May we, Lord, open up our hearts, if they're not open already, to be able to say, Jesus, I love you so much, and thank you for forgiving me of my sins, and to give me, Lord, all that you have for me to give. I want to receive it today, if that's even possible. But I want to know that I love you and I care about you. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Be seated. Go ahead, Karen. Is your dad getting stronger? I don't know why it is. The people that love him the most, they don't want to respond to him. No, that's it. You're like, I don't know.